ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
तस्मात्
तस्मात्
एकेन
एकेन
मनसा भगवान् सत्पथं पतिः श्रोतव्यः व्यतितव्यश्च ज्ञेया
पूजश्च
नित्यदा तस्मादिकेन
मनसा
भगवान् सात्मतं पति श्रोतव्या कीर्तितव्यश्च ज्ञेया पूजश्च
नित्यदा
तस्मादिकेन मनसा भगवान् सात्पथं पतिः श्रोतव्या कीर्तितव्यश्च ज्ञेया पूजश्च नित्यदा. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember and worship the personality of Godhead who is the protector of the devotees. If realization of the Absolute Truth is the ultimate aim of life, it must be carried out by all means. In any one of the above mentioned orders of life, the four processes, namely glorifying, hearing, remembering and worshipping, are general occupations. Without these principles of life, no one can exist. Activities of the living being involve engagements in these four different principles of life, and especially in modern society, all activities are more or less dependent on hearing and glorifying. Any man from any social status becomes a well-known man in human society within a very short time if he is simply glorified truly or falsely in the daily newspapers. Sometimes the political leaders of a particular party are also advertised by newspaper propaganda, and by such a method of glorification an insignificant man becomes an important man without no time. But such propaganda by false glorification of an unqualified person cannot bring about any good, either for the particular man or for the society. There may be some temporary reactions to such propaganda, but there are no permanent effects. Therefore, such activities are a waste of time. The actual object of glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who has created everything manifest before us. We have broadly discussed this fact from the beginning of the Janmadhyasya Shloka of this Bhagavata. The tendency to glorify others or hear about others must be turned to the real object of glorification, the Supreme Being, and that will bring happiness. Namaṁ Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nityanande Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Prachārine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Askacharye Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Bhaktavrinda Hare
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Let us hear again the verse. Therefore, with one pointed attention, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember and worship the personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. The word therefore here is used. The word means that if realization of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the goal of human endeavors, the goal of the human form of life, then one should do this with one pointed attention. I think all of us know from practical experience that if it is possible for us to focus our mind entirely on one subject and not allow it to go to any other thing, whatever we do becomes extremely powerful and extremely successful. The moment our mind becomes diverted to other concerns and other thoughts, whatever we do does not have the same power. An artist forever, for instance, if he is like a musician, if he can put his mind into really expressing himself through the piece of music which he presents, the music can be very powerful. Or a speaker, if he is very convinced of what he says and he has no other thought, his presentation is powerful. Even a fighter, a martial art fighter, if he just thinks about, I want to be victorious in this particular fight, then there is a lot, then he has a good chance. The whole art of life is really to bring your mind to this ekena manasa point, this, to fix it on one point. We hear from Mahabharata about this principle by a beautiful little anecdote which involves Arjuna, the Pandavas and also the Kurus. Toward the end of their training, the teacher Duryodhana brought all his pupils as a shula into a tree into which he had fixed the image of a bird. That was on pup vogel. So he told his disciples one by one to shoot an arrow into the eye of this paper bird. And now you will hear some very interesting story about the morals of a kshatriya. First he asked Duryodhana, come and point your arrow at this at the eye of the paper bird. Tell me what you see. Duryodhana went like this. The dear preceptor, Limalera, I am seeing the tree. I am seeing all of you. I am seeing the sky. I see the bird. I see the eye of the bird. Oh, said Duryodhana. No, Dronacharya, I'm very sorry, Dronacharya is his name. And he was very frustrated with this unqualified disciple. You are not qualified. Do not even attempt to shoot the arrow. I'm very disappointed with you. Like what? went away, went to the side. Then Dronacharya asked Yudhishthira, "What do you see?" Yudhishthira said, "Well, I see you. I see the tree, I see the bird, I see the eye of the bird." "Oh, Yudhishthira," said Dronacharya, "you are not qualified to shoot the arrow. Go to the side." Then Dronacharya called for Arjuna. He asked him to point his arrow towards the paper bird inside the tree and shoot. But before shooting, he asked him the question, "Arjuna, what do you see?" Arjuna's answer was, "I see the eye of the bird." "Is that all?" asked Dronacharya. "Yes, my dear preceptor, you have given me this aim. I see only this aim." He said, "No, do you see it? And is this all? I mean, do you see a tree or people standing around?" "No, I only see the eye of the bird." "You are qualified to shoot," said Dronacharya. "Now shoot." This is what any teacher, this was an example from martial arts, from Kampfkünsten, will try to teach his disciple to become one-pointed, because it is known the moment you become one-pointed in your life, that moment you are successful. Krishna, in his teachings to Arjuna, also focuses on this point. He says, "Vyayasa yatmika buddhir eke na eke na kuruman kurunandana." The verse says that, "My dear Arjuna, you must know one thing. Those who are on the skirt of path, their attention is one-pointed and they are very determined. However, the intelligence of the undetermined is many-branched, vielverzweigt, the intelligence." Here Krishna acts as the spiritual teacher of Arjuna, and surprisingly he tells him the same thing which the martial arts teacher Dronacharya had earlier told Arjuna, that to be successful one has to be one-pointed in his mind. This is true in the material field, any material field, and it is also true in the spiritual field. Now I want to give you, this I will bring at the end, there is one reason why to become one-pointed is so extremely important in spiritual life. This reason is that the way out of this material entanglement and out of this material world is quite difficult, and there's only really one possibility in which you can go this path, and the possibility is that your mind must again become totally absorbed in Krishna. Any religious path is a good religious path if it teaches its followers to totally absorb their minds in the personality of Godhead. So this verse gives the how do you say, the method, how the mind can become totally absorbed in Krishna. Four things are necessary. Let me find this out for you again. Shravana, you must hear about. Kirtana, you must glorify. And finally, Dhyaya. Dhyaya is a state of Smarana. Smarana means remembrance, and Dhyaya means a concentrated remembrance of Krishna. And pujas, you must do something to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If this is done, hearing, glorifying, meditating and worshipping Krishna, something can happen with your mind. At this present moment, the mind is under some gravitational force. It's in some whirlpool, which has a certain gravitational force. That gravitational force under which the material mind is in Sanskrit gunohmi shakram. It means the whirlpool of the three modes of material nature: passion, ignorance, and sometimes a little sattva. Our mind is constantly under these influences. Constantly it is either a little passionate, want to attain something, and it is tamasic, feel very repulsed by something, lazy, or it is sattvic, that you feel a little bit peaceful. The mind is constantly under the influence of this material nature. Have you ever read Der alte Mann und das Meer? This is a work by Ernest Hemingway, The Old Man and the Ocean. The man of the ocean. Yeah. There it is described that this old man, he has something with the ocean, some relationship. I forgot exactly what. I believe it must be complicated, as much as I know Hemingway, he will write it. So one day he goes out onto the ocean and he gets into this whirlpool. It's a huge whirlpool which is in the midst of the ocean, a strudel. And his boat gets entangled there, and it goes in circles. And then the rest of the novel is about this. I do not know if he got free. Is that how he came out of the strudel? Did he get free?
I don't know. He was entangled with a fish.
With a fish, even.
He was caught. He caught the fish, and he was fighting for them with that fish to get him. They were fighting, and he was destroying them. And then he went to the house to feed the big fish.
It was about a fish. Then I read it something. It's read it wrong.
And then the movie was like this.
Yeah.
The movie was like that.
In the book, it's as far as I read. Anyway, we are in the analogy, it doesn't matter, the strudel. Your mind has to come out of the strudel, of the whirlpool, of the dictates of ignorance and tamas, and that's very, very difficult. Do you agree? It's very, very difficult. And the way you get out is only by getting into another whirlpool. That is the constant glorification of Krishna. And let me say that you hear about Krishna, that you glorify Krishna, and finally that you dhyaya. Dhyaya means meditate about Krishna, that it's so much in your mind that it does not leave your mind any longer, and then that you express your Krishna consciousness in some ways of worship. Therefore all Brahman initiated devotees should make it a point to worship the deity regularly. It's one of these four things which bring you into the gravitational field of the spiritual world. So there are two ways to become absorbed. Basically two ways. There are many ways to become absorbed. You become absorbed, for instance, this is the first way, by fear. If you fear someone or something, then you always think about this from morning till evening. Or you can become absorbed into something if you love it, love a person. By fear and by love, you become generally absorbed. In spiritual life, many people start to become absorbed in God by fear, by the principle of fear. They fear material existence, they fear material life, and therefore they start the path of spiritual life. Usually if you ask a Hare Krishna devotee, why did you become a devotee? His answer will be, the material life was so terrible. I did not want to suffer any longer. This is the fear here, that if I don't do this spiritual life, then I fall back into the misery. That is here the motivating force. Also, devotees often, they act out of fear. Oh, if I don't come to the spiritual programs, what will the others say? Or you know, if I don't follow the rules and regulations, then I will be some bad consequences, which I fear is there. Now this, you cannot live your spiritual life based on fear. We hear that fear is one of the most dangerous psychological poisons which you can have. If you want to become absorbed in Krishna consciousness, fear is not good for this. It may be that in the beginning some fear principles are there which bring you to spiritual life, but ultimately you have to make the transition to raga, to absorption out of love. It's very important. In the Bhagavatam is a verse how someone becomes Krishna conscious. It is explained that it is done only by absorption, by coming into this whirlpool, this irresistible gravitational force of the spiritual world. This is how you, and the example is given of a wasp. Do you know a vespe? The vespe. No, it's not the wasp. I'm sorry. It's the bringy insect. Example geht von dem Bringi Insekt. Ich weiß nicht, was das für ein Insekt ist. The Bringi Insect is captured by a wasp and put into a hole. And then he's in the hole and he's so much fearing that this wasp will come at one time and come and sting it, bing, and kill it, that the Bringi Insect thinking about this wasp. He's becoming totally absorbed by fear. Now in his next life, the Bringi insect becomes a wasp because he's so much absorbed. Even in this life, he changes somehow into some wasp, he gets some wasp-like characteristics. This is the example of how Krishna consciousness should work. You should become so absorbed in Krishna, but not out of fear. Very important. You should, because material life is so terrible and I fear death, therefore I better spiritual life. This type of absorption won't bring you into the kingdom of love, into Goloka Vrindavan. It will bring you somewhere else. The Vaikuntha planets. Anyways, this is a subtle point. If we want to go back to Krishna, we must become similarly absorbed as the Bringi insect. Oh, can only think wasp, 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 wasp. So we must think and come to the state where with love, not with fear. It's very important. The example is only good because it tells, gives us an example of absorption. Absorption has fatigue, but thank God. We have to also come ultimately to the state where we can become so absorbed in Krishna. Ooh, that we see Krishna, 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 everywhere. And this is only done, we patiently take to the medicine of hearing a lot of Krishna, glorifying Krishna, and remembering and worshipping Krishna. These are the four things. When your spiritual life feels a little miserable, you should ask yourself, do I hear enough about Krishna? Do I chant enough about Krishna? Whenever you do, you hear about Krishna, you chant about Krishna, you develop a very spiritual feeling in the heart. If you neglect it, oof, then material consciousness again comes. My dear devotees, let me tell you of my little 1 month experience. When we were in Braj, that's all what we did. Hearing about Krishna and thinking about Krishna and remembering Krishna. And I had the feeling I'm no longer in the material world. It's so powerful, this process. It works. Rupa Goswami describes one problem of the beginner in this problem. He says that we don't have any taste for this. To hear all this about Krishna, chant about Krishna. We think this is a torture. Terrible. Think like this. This is because we have developed this taste for other things, sense gratification and things, making money, or the worst thing. I just read this morning. The worst thing is we are so much interested in our own fame and glorification that we hate to glorify Krishna. Many people, they work and they become active only because of fame. Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, even if one can give up all material desires, selbst wenn man alle materiellen Wünsche aufgeben kann, the desire for fame, Eigenruhm, is very difficult to give up. This desire for fame, which is compared to stool, is the root cause, also ist die Ursache, die Wurzel bildet, of all anathas, von allen unangenehmen Sachen. So. Therefore one should carefully avoid touching this stool in the form of desire for fame. Yes. So, what Rupa Goswami says is, if we are not able to have a taste for Krishna's holy name and activities and form, we should not become mental and see it as a big problem. We should continue to take to the medicine of hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, and gradually this taste will awaken. Especially if we do this in association with devotees who have a good taste in Krishna consciousness. This is how Rupa Goswami describes it. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, with the same concept, says, in the early morning, at dawn, midday, at midnight. Midnight means he doesn't sleep much. One who gives up his anathas and engages in hearing and chanting easily obtains the mercy of Lord Krishna. Those who chant the holy name with full faith in the association of devotees are freed from anathas and reach the stage of nishtha. This is steadiness in Krishna consciousness. This steadiness or nishtha is exemplified in the life of Hanumanji. Hanumanji or Hanuman is a very much fixed on the worship of Lord Rama. Once Lord Krishna, who was residing in Dwaraka at the time, wanted to show the extreme one-pointedness of Hanuman. He said to Garuda, Garuda, tell Hanuman in Kimpurusha Vash, that's another part of this universe, tell him please to come and see me in Dvaraka. So, and Garuda came to Hanuman. Hanuman was there, sitting before the deity. Sarupati Radhavaya Chagam Patita Pavanatita Lam Pialet Sarupati Radhavaya Chagam Patita Pavanatita Lam. Krishna wants to see you, said Garuda. Hanuman was continuing his little bhajan. And then Garuda came and took all his... He said, if you don't come to Krishna, I will bring you by force. But then Hanuman just took his tail, lifted up his tail and pressed Garuda away. Don't disturb me, Raghupati. And he continued his worship. Garuda had never experienced this. He's very strong. And he came back to Krishna in Dvaraka and said, Hanuman doesn't want to come. He pressed me with his tail and I could not take him. Krishna, something you should do. What you should do is now you should go to Hanuman and tell him that Ramachandra is in Dvaraka and wants to see him, and you will see what happens. And again, Garuda flew back to Hanuman and said, your worshipable Lord Ramachandra is there. Hanuman heard this. He was jumping in one jump. And Garuda was trying to catch up, but he lost sight of Hanuman. Hanuman was so fast, he disappeared. In the meantime, Krishna, he said to Satyabhama, you please change it to Sita. Don't ask any question, we have to be fast here. He told Balaram, you become Lakshman. And he changed to Ramachandra. And so then Hanuman came, he saw at the Darshan Sita Ram, Sita Ram and Lakshman. He had this Darshan. He asked, my Lord, is there anything you want me to do? And Krishna, the form of Hanuman, said, I just wanted to see you. Your darshan, encourage you in your puja, in your worship by using the holy name. Mm-hmm. So this is an example of nishtha, totally fixed in the worship of one's worshipable Lord. This is what has to come in our life also, either this life or the next life or the life after the next life or the life after the next life or the next. Sometimes in our spiritual development we have to learn to become absorbed like this. I feel as devotees we often don't think so much about this subject matter of absorption. We are so much absorbed in so many other things, in our social life we are absorbed, with our relationships to so and so and so and so. We are absorbed in our, in all the different obstacles, the hindrances which we have to overcome in our lives. We are absorbed. Many times we are not even absorbed. We are so many branched, also so viel verzweigt, so that we are weak in all fields, even in any field. And as devotees, we have to make a point to become absorbed. The example which has been given is three. The mother who is absorbed in the child, giving the example, is thinking the child, especially when the child is not there. The mind goes, Markandeya, where are you? You know, what's wrong? It's a very deep absorption. The other absorption is the chataka bird. Do you know the chataka bird? The chataka bird only drinks water directly from the cloud. He waits the whole year for that cloud to come, and when the cloud comes, shoop, he flies into the cloud, no matter if it rains or storms or even if there is a flash. Also es kann da blitzen, der Chataka Vogel weiß wohin muss. In die Vogel, in die, wie soll ich mich ausdrücken, in die Cloud. He's so, only in his mind is no other water. No river water, no Pfützenwasser, puddle water, nothing. Just that particular water he wants. And the other example of absorption is the Chakravarta bird. It's a bird like a flamingo. Somehow, due to a curse of nature, this Chakravarta bird cannot see its lover during the night. Now, night time is the best time to see one's lover. In this bird species. But somehow due to a curse he cannot see the lover. What does he do? He cannot sleep. He only thinks boo boo, boo boo, and calls for the lover. Because he's so absorbed he cannot even sleep. He's so absorbed. This is the path ahead of us, my dear Prabhus, to become absorbed like the mother and the child, like the chataka bird in the cloud, like the chakravarta into the mother, into the lover. These are different examples of absorption. Many times devotees who hear this, they become skeptical. How will this be possible for me? I do not love Krishna very much. Well, there is no question of loving him because I don't see so much that Krishna is part of my life. Where was he when I had a difficulty? Huh? And when I felt dry, when I felt miserable. But love is not a one-sided affair. Can you love someone or something from whom absolutely no sign comes back that he accepts or acknowledges or responds to this love? Also in Deutsch, kann man irgendjemand lieben, von dem absolut kein Zeichen kommt, dass er oder sie diese Liebe annimmt und auch erwidert? It's not possible. This is not how love functions. Love needs to be nourished in order to grow, and it is nourished by the response of the lover. So some devotees feel, I have not received any response from Krishna up till now. No sign. At least not a clear sign. My dear devotees, please now listen to this beautiful philosophy of Jiva Goswami, who addresses this point. He says, for a devotee who has not yet developed the eyes of love, for a devotee who has not yet developed the eyes of love, Krishna is in the back. He's there, but he keeps in the back.
And what he does is, Krishna makes arrangements for the devotees so that that devotee can come back to Krishna. And he makes arrangement that he meets the devotees, he makes arrangement that he meets a guru, he makes arrangement that he meets the shastras. The example, and at least I like very much this example, I hope you will also like it, is the example of a fish mother. The fish mother will swim behind the the schwarm, the small fish smar, the group of her fish children, and she's just behind at a little distance, maybe 2 meters, and the fish mother keeps the distance. Only when she sees that her fish family, or whatever you call it, fish human, swim in the wrong direction, maybe they swim to the cliff where there is this moraine, yeah, these are heavy, heavy fishes in Auschwitz, are they? What?
Moraine.
Moraine, yeah? These moraine, they are very poisonous and they eat fishes like, and bite sometimes humans when they come too close. So when the fish mother sees this, she comes from the distance and goes like, bing, 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 and just gives them the fishes the right direction, and then they go into the other direction. This is how Krishna comes into the life of a devotee who is not yet so developed. He sometimes gets hints. In our ISKCON German language, we say, man kriegt eins aufs Dach von Krishna. You know, it means Krishna corrects the way. Like, when I look at most of those of you who I know, I have seen that Krishna many times came just swimming from the back. And then. sometimes. One is not very attentive, one cannot hear, and one always goes back. Krishna. I have seen this in my life because I try to sometimes help devotees, and it's impossible because they cannot see the point. And then I just have to pray to Krishna, please, you come from the back, I know you are over there. And just do something to correct the vision of your devotee. This is how Krishna appears in the life of the ordinary devotee. But when the devotee becomes, you know, finally understands, I have to do something, I have to take shelter at the 3 points which Krishna has given me, guru, sadhu, and the granth, the scripture, the I have to take shelter, I have to absorb myself there. Then, and the holy name, that's very important also. If the devotee understands this, then there is a chance that Krishna will show himself as he is, not just in this indirect way where he pushes or points us into the right direction. But there will be a time when Krishna appears to the devotee and tells him, I am like this. If you want to listen more to Krishna as the Super Soul, you must fine-tune your intelligence to Krishna's words in the scriptures. This is how you can really learn to listen more to the Super Soul. If you fine-tune your intelligence to the words which are there in the scriptures. The example is given of the snake. Jiva Goswami's example. If the snake is captured by the snake person, he plays on his flute, and then the snake comes from the forest, and then the snake begins to listen to that music, and finally begins to swing like this, and the musician, when the snake charmer goes like this, the snake goes like this, and the snake charmer goes like this, the snake follows it. In the same way, the devotee's intelligence should be fine-tuned to the message of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We should learn to think in these according to the philosophy of the spotless Purana, the Bhagavatam, and then we can slowly become absorbed, almost like the snake which is charmed, the snake charmer. Anyways, this was there are some thoughts on this subject matter. I hope that you could draw something out of this. Nowadays there is a philosophy that one says, if I become so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, I become fanatic. And it's too extreme, and so on. My dear devotees, this would be a correct concern, ein richtiges concern, if Krishna would be fanatic. Or if Krishna would be just a sectarian god. But because Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you will find everything in this one point. When you direct yourself properly on Krishna, you will see how everything in this world only relates to this point. Because Krishna's, when we talk about Krishna, we talk about absolute truth. The absolute truth means that which connects all the relative truth in that one absolute truth. So don't worry, to become one-pointed is good and it is necessary in one's spiritual life. Okay, I want to end here. Do you have any questions?
Stricken.
And it is so simple, and he liked
to do that. But at the same time, he was
a
very advanced spiritual person, and he was doing something
and still he was stricken something for his altar, maybe. Yes, you are correct. Srila Prabhupada is the most properly the only modern translator of Vedic texts who translates bhakti or love with a word which implies activity, that is devotion and service. Because by devotion and service, yes, there is a connection, the loving connection comes to Krishna. That's a correct impression. Prabhupada said that love is not something passive, but something active. We should all see in our lives how we can express this or even cultivate this love for Krishna by doing something in his service. Like I'm very, very happy after talking with Gadadha and some other devotees from the Vedan Academy. I really feel how by the sincerity of the devotees who do this service here, by Krishna's mercy, it goes into a wonderful direction where all these Upavedas, this subject which indirectly have to do with Vedic knowledge, are connected to Krishna, to direct Krishna conscious knowledge in this wonderful course system where you have Vasati, Yotish, Sanskrit, Bhagavad Gita, and the Veda studies and so on. It becomes all connected. I think when you do this and you continue to work patiently on this, you will actually see how this is a wonderful service which you're doing. It's already wonderful, because anyone who studies Vastu or Vasati, he will have some connection with the devotees and then with Krishna consciousness. It's natural. But if you make it more explicit, as one of the many Vordergrund tut, Pooh, it will be so powerful. Krishna, he is already blessing you so much, but he will bless you even more. And he might put more tests into your life also, because Krishna's mercy is he wants to draw us to him. There is one, Amina, your point is very nice. And I have also noticed this in the case of the deities, because the deities are worshipped so nice here. They are manifesting themselves so brilliantly. Have you noticed? I remember when we did the installation ceremony, we bathed them and so on. Most of you were there. Henry was also there. The deities were already somewhat there, but now they are much more. Isn't it, Medhipati? It's much more. Even the devotees feel drawn to the deities. They are so nice. I like to chant alone, but here in this temple, I want to sit before the deities and chant before them, because they're manifesting their glories. Also, Saranandi has shown me her deities, and they are also, because now she worships them a little bit, they seem to be awoken. The alchemy, it's mystical. Krishna is coming to the devotee, into the devotee's life, the devotee's son. It's correct, what your impression is. Very good, Amina. Well, but the devotees who never serve, I mean, devotees who never serve Krishna, that's almost in a contradiction, but devotees who somehow, where their service attitude becomes a little bit frozen by the influence of the Kali Yuga atmosphere, they can't imagine how Krishna is there in their life. They can't relate to Krishna. Many devotees are in this unfortunate situation that the service has become stopped a little bit or smaller because of disappointments on the social platform, disappointments with the difficult times in which our movement is at the present moment, and then they lose their connection to Krishna when they do not have this service. I have seen this. Good, I feel we have come to. Anyone else? Good, then I want to thank you very much. This will all the best for you, alles Gute für euch, and thank you, Radha Vallabha, that you could come from Czechoslovakia. I think next time I come, I will ask Radha Vallabha to come and take me to Czechoslovakia for a few days or so. Have a plan. So close. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Diti Gonitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari.